Hallelujah. We lift up the Lord, name of the Lord. Amen. We worship you, Lord, and magnify your name. We thank you that you are here tonight. We thank you that you didn't come empty-handed, but you came to with your power. You came with your ability. You came to do some things tonight. We thank you that you are here tonight so that we do not have to leave like we came. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Father, that you have a plan for our life, that tonight will be another step in that plan, moving forward in what you have for us so that we may be able to fulfill that which you have called us to, that which you have assigned us to do in the kingdom of God, and to be that wonderful, powerful witness that you have called all of us to be a witness for you, that others may see and know that there is a living God. We thank you that tonight, that you who live on the inside will become more clear on the outside. We thank you for it. We thank you that you are here tonight to help us in every way. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. You could be seated. It is great to be here tonight, to see all of you here tonight. Those of you that are watching online, we welcome you. Thank you for joining us tonight. We believe that God will bless you and minister to you right where you are tonight. And we know he has something good for you. Hallelujah. Tell somebody God's got something good for you tonight. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, it's been raining outside, and it ought to be the rain of the Spirit ought to be going on the inside of us. Amen. Hallelujah. There ought to be an outpouring or a downpour of God's presence and power in our lives. Smith Wigglesworth says it's a tragedy when Christians live on the same plane 2 days in a row. Isn't that something? And so we ought to endeavor to take a step with God every day. Isn't that right? Amen. And so we are going to continue tonight on part three of releasing the power of the greater one. You know, now the last two sessions that we had, we got through the introduction. Now, let's see how far we get tonight, you know. But, you know, we're just going to follow the Spirit of God. And it's not important to get through my notes, but it is important to speak what God says and to minister in what God says to minister, because he's interested in what you need. You know, you may not need my notes, but you do need what God has for you. Isn't that right? And so John chapter 14, verse 16 and 17 says it this way, and says, I will pray the Father, and he'll give you another helper that he may abide with you forever. I want to stop there and just say that together with me. Abide with you forever. Now look at your neighbor and say, that's talking about you. Tell somebody else, he's living in you. He's living in you. So the first thing that I want to impress upon you again, as I did in the last two sessions, is this, that God, if you're born again, God is constantly with you. Amen. The Holy Spirit is always with you. He never leaves you. He never forsakes you. He never ever leaves you by yourself. And so it wouldn't be appropriate to sing a song that I heard a number of years ago. Some country western artist sang a song, Oh Lonesome Me. So it wouldn't be appropriate for Christians to sing that song, would it? Because we're not a lonesome people, because we're not alone. No, but he has not left us, so I'm not crying in my tears until he comes back again. So it wouldn't be appropriate to sing those songs. Would it now? Now, don't look at me like I'm taking your toy away from you. But now listen to me. Sometimes we just got to realize that God is right here. I know he's in heaven. And in seminary, we say that he is transcendent. He is over everything. He is supreme over all. But the truth of the matter is, he's also imminent, as we would say in seminary. Imminent, he is right here. Everybody say right here. Amen. And so it is good to know that he is over all, but it is also good to know that he's right here. Amen. Isn't that right?
Right?
Now let's go on reading verse 17. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But now listen to this. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Of course, you know Jesus was speaking this before his death, burial, and resurrection. And so he is speaking of present facts at the time he's speaking, and also of the future after his death, burial, and resurrection. When people are born again, the Holy Spirit is not only with you, but he is in you. He has come to make his home in you, his dwelling place. I like to say it this way, that we are God's address. We are the temple of the Holy Ghost. If you need to know where God lives, he lives at my place.
Amen.
Lives at your place if you're born again.
Amen.
Isn't that right? So we need to realize that. And so 1 John chapter 4, verse 4 says, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater. Everybody say greater. Than he who is in the world. And so one of the things that I had to settle in my heart in my relationship with God is, God, I know you're always with me, but the question, that's not the question. The question is, what can you do? What can you do? Can you help me where I'm at? Can you help me with my problems? Are you able to help me overcome? Could you possibly bring me victory in this situation? Can you bring me from the brink of failure to back to success? Can you do that? And I'm glad I found this scripture, because it says greater is he who's in me than he that is in the world. The Knox translation says this: you little children who take your origin from God. Listen to this. You originated from God. I know you have parents, earthly parents, and thank God for them. But the truth of the matter is, when you got born again, listen to me. The Bible says here, you originated from him. He is your father. You have a new DNA, spiritual DNA, so to speak. He is your father. And so there's your father may have been a good father, may have been a bad father, might have been an absent father, might have been an abusive father. But I'm going to tell you something. The fact of the matter is, it all changes when you get born again. You got a good father. Come on now. And he is well able to deal with whatever he has enough power. If all of us made the same demand, made a demand upon him at the same time in this room, he's well able to take care of it. He said, I can only handle 100 at a time. You know how that is. You don't want to, some systems, you can overload them. And then you sit there and it just buffers and goes in circles. And you know what I'm saying? I'm going to tell you something. You can't overload God. I said, you can't overload him. No problem is too big for him. No problem is too small for him to care about it. Amen?
Amen.
And so we need to recognize this truth then, that not only is he with you, but he is also greater, stronger, more powerful, bigger, mightier than anything else that you might come in contact with. He is greater than any person that you might shake hands with or that might come against you. Absolutely. And so you see, the truth of the matter is that the enemy comes and he wants to threaten you, harass you, bring you into a place of believing that you're a failure. But when you understand that you have the greater one on the inside of you, and he came because he cares about you. He came because you came, because you responded to the love of God. He came into your heart because you made a decision about Jesus. being Lord of your life. And he came here, and he's here to take care of you, to help you, to bring you through. And when somebody comes against you, they're really not just coming against you. They really have a bigger problem than that. I like to say it this way. They have a huge problem that Houston can't help them with. You know, when the space program, you know, they radio back and say, Houston, we have a problem. And then Houston would say, you know, that was the language they used. Now, we're not talking about what's going on there currently, all right? I just now, I know Brother Bill is sitting over there thinking how I'm going to get through that right there. But not talking about that. We're talking about the space program. Isn't that right? We're not talking about the water problem. But anyway, you know, understand, you know, you don't have to call Houston to get your help. You just have to know him who's in you. Amen. So not only is he with you all the time, but he's always able to help you all the time. And we need to recognize the importance of that. And so I got my little light with me tonight again. And you know, it's one thing to know that we have electricity in the building. Isn't that right? How many of you thought about that? Now, I wonder if they got electricity in the building tonight. I'll come to the service. Let me call and see somebody and see if there's electricity in the building. You didn't do that, did you? If you did, you put your hand back down, you know, anyway. Amen. But, you know, now listen to me. So there's not an issue. We know that electricity's here. And any doubt about that. And so forth. So we know this much, that if we would have that in the properties of electricity, there is power to do a lot of things. Isn't that right? And so we have to recognize then that I've got this plugged in here, this light right here, and there's power in there. Now, if I put a sharp object into this cord, stuck it in there, you know, just took a piece of wire, sharp wire or something, or poked it in there and didn't have some kind of protective handle, I would feel the power. And I have felt the power. That is my level of expertise when in electrical things, is that if the longer I work with it, the more sure I'm coming to the point of feeling the power. Because my screwdriver will slip, or I think I can do this, and all of a sudden it goes, you know, thank God for circuit breakers, because it just goes, you know, just like that, you know, and you don't feel too much, you know. But on the other hand, you know, I remember in the days when you had those old fuses that you put in, you know, and those didn't shut off right away, you know. You understand, the power's right there, you know. Or we had a hot wire, you know, out there on the farm, you know, and we had an electric fence. Those of you that don't grow up on the farm, what we did is we would just put up one or two single strands of wire. It's not, those wires aren't powerful enough to keep the cattle in. But on the other hand, but when we hooked it up to what we called a fencer, or some kind of unit that sent a signal of power through those wires, it became a whole different story. That cattle did not want to mess with that. And sometimes we as boys would want to challenge each other to see who's the biggest, toughest guy and everything. And I just really felt like I didn't have anything to prove. You know, you go ahead if you want to. After the first time or so, I just was not interested in that. And so we need to recognize then that there is no question about power. Now listen to me. There is electrical power up to this lamp. It's all hooked up, but the light's not on. Look at that. It's not on. You think we ought to call the power company? See what's wrong? No. No, there's a little thing up here on the top called a switch. In order to experience the power, you got to throw the switch. Look at that. See, we got the power. But the power was right there. before we threw the switch. It's all the way to the switch. And I have to tell you this, that the thing that I want you to get a hold of tonight is this, that you can have the Holy Spirit in you. You can have the power of God within you. But if you don't throw the switch, it's not going to help you much. It's not going to help you much. Now, I want to reiterate a statement that I made the last two times, because I want you to get it, and maybe you weren't here and you didn't hear this, but there is no such thing as having the Holy Spirit and not having the power of God. If you have the Holy Spirit, and you do if you're born again, look, tell your neighbor, he's talking about you again. If you're born again, you have the Spirit of God in you. And that means you have the power of God right here inside of you. And so many times what we don't realize is that what we need is oftentimes about 20 inches away from our mind. Just 20 inches. Tell somebody, your answer's about 20 inches away. About 20 inches away. Not very far, is it? How many of you can believe for something to move 20 inches? Isn't that right? I can believe for it to come up out of my spirit into my conscious mind and help me to understand how God wants to move in my life. Isn't that right? So we know that. So we don't have a no power problem. We don't need to call the power plant. What we need to do is to believe that we do have the power. A lot of people go through life, Christians, good Christians, have no clue that they have the power of God. Born again, but they don't understand what they have. All they understand, all they've ever been taught, is that your sins are forgiven and you're going to heaven. That's all they've ever been taught. Thank God we're going to heaven. Isn't that right? But you see that God did not abandon you. You know, once you got born again, he did not sit back. And Jesus and him, Jesus seated on the right hand, they did not sit back, fold their arms, and lean back and say, now we're going to watch this and see if he's going to make it. And sip their lemonade and decide the odds of you making it through life and ending up in heaven. I don't know. Doesn't look like it. Doesn't look like it. It'll give me a 2-1. No, God's not going to, that's not what God's doing. God, listen to this. God will be involved in your life as much as you let him. If he's not involved in your life, it's because you didn't give him permission to do it. You didn't turn the switch on. So we need to talk about turning the switch on. One of the things that I noticed about Jesus is that he listened to what people said before he ministered to them. Because you see, in the realm of the Spirit, you operate the switch of faith with your words. I'm going to say that again. In the realm of the Spirit, you operate the switch of faith with your words. Everybody say words. Jesus listened to what people said before he ministered to them, because the words will either switch on the power or turn it off. Off, on, off, on. Off, on, off, on. You can do that. You can play with the light. You know, your mom and dad say, stop playing with the light. You know. I think sometimes God would like to say, would you stop playing around with what you're saying and start saying things that's going to leave the power on. That's right. All right. That's right. Come on now. You see, that's why, well, anyway, we better get there. There are only two people in the Bible. There are only two people in the Bible that Jesus commented about them and said they had great faith. Just two. And I don't know about you, but I'm not, you know, he said to some of the disciples, you have little faith. And he said, how is it you have no faith? Well, I'm not, listen to me. No offense to those disciples, but I'm not going after no faith, and I'm not going after little faith. I'm going after great faith. So I'm going to go find out what the people did that have great faith that caused Jesus to say, "Now there is some great faith." You know, Jesus being in heaven and having seen all things, and you know, it takes a lot to impress somebody that has everything. Isn't that right? And so Jesus was impressed by these two people's faith. He said, "You got great faith." One of them was a Syrophoenician woman in Matthew chapter 15, verse 21 through 28. Jesus listened to her words. I'm not going to read you the whole story, but he said this in verse 28. He said this, but then Jesus, after listening to her, answered and said to her, "O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire." How many of you have read that or something like that? And you say, I'd like for what I desire to come to pass. I'd like for Jesus to say that to me. Isn't that right? Well, I would too. And so I said, I got to look at this a little further. You'll find the same story over in Mark chapter 7. In Mark chapter 7, and I want to read the same verse in Mark chapter 7, verse 29. That's very interesting. What he said here. This will give you shed some light on what Jesus would call great faith. Now listen to what he said here in Mark chapter 7, verse 29. He said to her, he said, "For this saying, go your way, the demon has gone out of your daughter." Now other translations say it this way, "For the words that you have spoken, the demon has gone out of your daughter." In other words, he listened to her words. He measured her faith by the words she spoke consistently. Now, anybody can say something good once in a while and impress somebody. But it's a whole nother thing to keep it up. Isn't that right? And so you have to understand that Jesus was not just impressed because she made one statement that was good. Because anybody can do that in church. Because you see, it's not what you say in church necessarily, although it helps to be in the right church and say the right things in church. But it's when you're all alone. It's when you're in your house. It's when you're dealing with the situation. What are we saying then? Are we still consistent with what we said in church? It's one thing to say to your neighbor, "Greater is he that's in you," when you're sitting in church. It's another thing to say it when there's pain in your body. "Greater is he that's in me than the pain that's in my body." It's another thing to say, "Greater is he that's in me," when the bills are there and you have no money to pay it. Greater is he than those bills right there. It's another thing when people attack you and say bad things about you, and they're lying about you, and they're accusing you of things that are not true, and you still say, "Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world." I'm telling you, listen to me. It's what you say when real life is happening and you say it consistently. That's when we start recognizing, Jesus starts recognizing, now there's a person with some great faith. Because you're not allowing the circumstances to change what you say. You're not allowing what somebody else says to change what you say. Because you see, now listen to me. Some of you don't know this, and you'll need to learn this. But the truth of the matter is, you do kingdom business with the words you speak. Because your words influence everything. It influences what you do. It influences your attitude. It influences your outlook. It influences what you're willing to try to do. Excuse me. Words. You got to learn to speak the word of God consistently. See, that'll keep the switch on. That'll keep the power turned on. Listen to me. If you speak the word, it turns the Holy Spirit on. What do I mean by that? It moves him into action. He said, "I believe I'll do that. I believe I'll do what you say. Isn't that right? So the, now listen to me. The other person that Jesus said had great faith is a Roman centurion. Now it's interesting. I'm going to point this out and then we'll move right along. The two people that he said had great faith were not particularly church people. Or what would be considered church people in those days. They were not Jewish people, and they were not people who would say that they were Jehovah was their God. Okay? Or they weren't in the covenant. They weren't in the Mosaic covenant. So you see, sometimes we church people got to learn something. Don't get quiet on me right now. Because, you know, people think you're talking about you. See, now listen there. The truth is I was. Anyway, now listen to me. The truth of the matter is sometimes we church people are hard to move. We know. Isn't that right? We know. We already know that. Like the kid was in a Bible school, and the professor said, announced what he was going to be teaching on, and he, having been around a little bit, he said, I already heard that. And he did not intend for the professor to hear it, but he did. And the professor swelled up like a big old toad frog. His face got bright red. And he started screaming, "Faith does not come from having heard. It comes by hearing and hearing and hearing." And he went on for about 5 minutes screaming. He wanted to impress upon that student that no matter how much you have heard, there's still much more to be heard. And if you study the parable of the sower, you'll find out it's not what you have heard, it's what you're currently hearing that makes a big difference. You see what I'm saying? And so sometimes we church people need to get moved, stirred up, not established in the present way so much that we are not willing to move with God. So you can't think that you know. Because the Bible says it this way, and it's always a sobering thought to me. If any man knows anything, he knows it not yet as he ought to. That means you could read one verse of the Bible for the rest of your life every day, and there's still something there for you to get out of that. Isn't that right? And so we need to recognize, here's the Roman centurion. And in Matthew chapter 8, Jesus said this to him. He said, "I will come and heal him," talking about the servant that was paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. Now in verse 8 is what the centurion starts speaking. And he said this, "Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but speak only a word, and my servant will be healed, for I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. I say this to one, go, and he goes, to another, come, and he comes to my servant, do this, and he does it." And when Jesus heard it, he marveled. You know, it takes a lot for Jesus to marvel. Marvel. It takes a lot for him. Him who has seen everything and has everything to marvel. But he marveled here. Evidently, faith impresses God. Isn't that right? Faith impresses God. And if you want to impress faith, if you want to impress God, you're going to have to get on your faith. You're going to have to consistently say what God says in order to get what God has promised to you. And so when Jesus heard it, he marveled, said to those who followed, "Surely I say to you," verse 10, "I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel." Today we would say it this way, I have not found such great faith, not even in the church. I'm old enough to have been privileged to be a part of the charismatic renewal. And in the charismatic renewal, what happened was that the established church had become so dead and so orthodox in everything that they did. So they were so established. I heard the story about the young man that got baptized with the Holy Spirit, and he was in a church that did not believe in that. And so his dad was taking him to task about that and said, "This is not right. You shouldn't be doing this." And the young man said, I really believe it is the Lord. And they were having a discussion about that. And the dad said, "No, we have the truth. We're established in the truth. We are here. We have it. And so they were driving along, and so they were going down this road, and they got into this little place where it was a little low, and they got stuck. And the dad said, "Well, I wonder what's going on." And the son, taking advantage of the moment, said, "I believe we have become established." See, if you church, that's a challenge for us church people, not to become so established that we can't move with God. Because you see, however much that we are established in, there's a whole lot more that we need to learn and move into and become established in. Amen. So let's move on. Jesus said, man, he was impressed. But now listen to me. He listened to their words. He said this to the centurion in verse 13. "Go your way, and as you have believed." How did he know what the centurion believed? Because of the words he spoke. You see, your believing and your speaking will always work together. If you're consistently cussing. Now, don't get mad at me. But if you're consistently cussing or saying something wrong, or you're consistently a negative person, and you always have great skill in pointing out the problem, then you might have to check up on what's inside of you. Because you see, your believing and your speaking are connected. Always. And we'll get into that hopefully in a little bit. But maybe in the next session. Because you see, I'm not very far along here. But you see, in both cases, where Jesus said they had great faith, he said that after he heard their consistent confession of faith, that's when he said that. See, the Holy Spirit is in you. He has enough power to do anything you need. But here's the deal. He is waiting to hear the right words come out of your mouth that are in line with God's word so that he can move. You see what I'm saying? That's why it's important for you to start saying what God's word says. I know sometimes there's problems come up, situations come up, and there's great pressure to say something else. And if something else comes out, repent of it and just keep right on going back to the word. Just pick up where you left off. Isn't that right? And just make sure the power is turned on in your life. You see, listen to me. Your words allow the Holy Spirit to move in power. As long as your confession of faith is intact, it allows the Holy Spirit to continue working in your life. But a lot of people give up too easy. A lot of people, they just back off. They say it. They have a confession of faith. They have 3-day faith. If nothing happens by the third day, they're on to something else. You see, the Holy Spirit's always listening to your words. He's always listening because your words will either give him permission to move or limit him. Say, no, hands off. See, that's why God, the Holy Spirit, does not manifest in great power when country music is playing. Now, I had lots of big old LP albums, you know, stacked, you know, I mean, I had bunches of them. And I could sing some of those songs, believe it or not. Oh, lonesome me. I'll be there before the next teardrop falls, you know. Kinda. And you know, when you start singing, "I lost my dog and my wife left me. My truck broke down and I can't get there. Oh, Trouble is my middle name. And see, you got to push it up in your nose a little better in order to be a successful, you know, C&W singer. Got to put it up in there, you know. I don't think I got a big enough nose to... No, I'm kidding. But I was listening to that stuff when I got saved, got to start living for God, and I kept listening to it, and I found out one day that what I'm singing is also what I'm saying. Isn't that a good thing? It was coming out of my mouth. And I started evaluating my life, and I thought, my God, I got what I'm saying. And that's a problem. A lot of people are saying what they got instead of saying what they need, what the Bible says to say. You see what I'm saying? And so you have to recognize this. Listen to me. Listen to me. The Holy Spirit is always listening to your words because He always wants the power to move in your life. But you see, you start singing the wrong thing and you start saying the wrong thing, this light will go out. If you turn it, because you see, you're turning the switch off. Keep the switch of faith turned on. You see what I'm saying? Your words are important. Luke 6:45 says it this way. It says this, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You say, well, you know, I've tried that, but you know, I'm just such a negative person. I've just had problems all my life controlling my tongue. I don't mean to cuss, but I cuss. And those words that I don't want to say just slip out of my mouth. And see, really, what you do, you really don't have a speaking problem per se, so much as your speaking is a symptom of something. It is a symptom of what's inside of you. Now, don't get quiet on me. Sit back down. We didn't reach the end of the service yet. But now listen to me. This switch right here. Now listen to this. Look at this switch. In order for this switch to do what it's designed to do, whatever is inside that switch has to work, has to be right. But if it's wrong, listen to me. If something is wrong inside that switch, it will not allow the power to move. In other words, it will not do what it's designed to do. God intended for your tongue, my tongue, to glorify Him. But you see, if we don't have our inner workings aren't right, if the inner workings aren't right, listen to me, it affects our speaking. That's why people don't pay their tithe. It's because they've been taught that 2 + 2 = 4. In school, and they've been taught that 10 - 1 = 9, and 9 = less than 10. And so if you take 1 away from 10, you end up with less. And that's good math. Isn't that right? Amen. But the truth of the matter is, I came into the kingdom of God, born into the kingdom of God, and I knew my math. 10 - 1. Is 9, and that's less than what I started with. Amen. And so the first time they said, we're going to receive an offering, I am muttering to myself, I'm less good, I'm going to want my dollar. But I felt like everybody's looking at me because I'm there for the first time, you know. And I, you know, the truth of the matter is there were 3,000 people there. I was not the star attraction. And so, but you felt like a neon sign because you're someplace for the first time. And I felt like everybody's watching me. Oh, is he going to put something in there? I'm going to watch him. I bet he's not going to put it. He doesn't look like he's saved. I know I didn't smell like it. So I reached into my pocket and got one of those dollars out. I'm going to have less than what I started out with. I mean, bless God, I worked hard for this. I shot pool to win this money. I'm serious. Pardon me. And so they had bad ushers, not like they do here. They had good ushers here. Good ushers get every section. And those ushers skipped our section. Somehow, man, I stuck that dollar back in my pocket so fast. I'm telling you, you couldn't. I mean, it made Abraham Lincoln's head swim. I still had everything. Problem was, I didn't have any more. And what I didn't understand was that in the kingdom of God, you give 1 out of 10, you end up with more instead of just going with simple math. You understand what I mean? And so I would not agree to pay my tithes or give offerings. No, I don't believe in that. I wasn't raised that way. I'm smarter than that. They just want my money. And there's a lot of people who have problems with that. And the truth of the matter is, that listen to me, the reason my speaking and my actions didn't line up with the word is because the inner workings weren't right. I did not have the truth of the Bible in me in abundance. I had something else in abundance in me. You understand what I mean? How many of you had to think? 10 minus 1. How many of you do not have to think? Okay, 10 minus 1. Okay, 1, 2. You don't have to do that, right? How many of you, as soon as I said 10 minus 1, you know the answer right now? There's a few of you. Raise your hand. The rest of you looked at me like, you know I do. Anyway, but listen to me. You know it because it's in you. But how many of you remember back when you didn't know that? And you remember when you were learning those things. It was not in abundance in you at the time, but they told it to you so many times that it was placed inside of you in abundance. Until there was no doubt that 10 minus 1 is 9. Talking about simple math. And that's exactly what you got to do in order to get the truth of God's word inside of you so it'll work so that your words come out right. Of course I believe in tithing because I've been looking at those scriptures and confessing those scriptures on a daily basis for many years now. I've been putting that into me in abundance so that when the time comes, I'm agreeing with what God said and I'm doing what God said and I'm turning the Holy Spirit on and he's moving into action, then he's going to bring forth that blessings, those blessings that I don't have room to contain. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So he's listening to my words. All my life, listen to this. All my life, I believed that Jesus died for my sins. And from little up, I was taught that. But I was not saved. I was not saved. Because I had some inner workings that were wrong. Because I made the assumption that in order, if I was to be saved, to receive Christ, and if I became a child of God, I would have to act like some of those people in the church. And I didn't think that was anything I wanted to do. I didn't want to, I heard one of them say, you know, you're talking to God out in the field. I'm like, how weird can you get? I didn't know God cared. I didn't know God loved. See how great a church we got? Because we know all that. It was not until I said some words and got some other information in me and said some words that I got saved. And so there's a lot of people that are believing some things. Some said they even believe some things that are right. But because it's not in them in abundance, in other words, it's just a part of many things. Okay? Because it's just a part of many things. Listen to me. Because it's not in them in abundance, it doesn't force its way up and influence your tongue. Because the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the overflow of what's in your spirit, the tongue takes hold of and expresses. 20th century New Testament says, what fills a man's heart rises to his lips. And I like to say it this way, that you say, well, how do I know when it's in me in abundance? Listen to me. It's you'll know it because there's something on the inside looking for a way out.
Right.
Looking for a way out. It just pops out. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Isn't that right?
Amen.
Now, Leah and I dated, close to 5 years before we got married, before we finally got around. Now, I believed that Leah and I would be married. But you know, none of that happened until we spoke words to that effect. We believed, but we didn't speak. She wondered when I'd get around to asking. And you know, but nothing happened until I spoke. How many of you remember your saying, I do? You know, that was a great moment, isn't that right? But now listen to me. I'm going to show you something. See, the way that you, now listen to me, the way that you take care of what you obtain is that you leave the switch on. You let the power flow constantly. In other words, Leah and I maintain our marriage with right words, with speaking the right things to each other. We leave the switch on for our marriage to be intact. Come on now. It takes both people, in that case, it takes both people to say it, saying the right things. We don't discuss divorce. Because we're not planning to go there. Now, I know things happen. And sometimes somebody makes a decision. But it doesn't have to be your decision necessarily. Meaning, it doesn't have to be something that you start saying and then cause something to happen. You understand what I mean? Some people get into situations and it just ends up that way, but simply because of circumstances and what somebody else said. You understand what I mean by that? But let me tell you something. Listen to me. I've learned this. Just because you say it doesn't mean I have to say it. And just because you said it doesn't mean I have to agree with it. Because my job as a Christian is to evaluate what you say in the light of the Word. And that depends, that decides whether I agree with you or not. When I'm believing for rain and somebody comes along and says, sure is dry, isn't it? See, now there's my challenge. I can either agree with you and continue having dry weather and have no effect upon anything, or I can change the subject because I'm not going to say what you said. I'm believing for the rain. I'm calling in the rain. Amen? And so there's a lot of times people come along and try to, I believe the enemy sends people just to see if he can trip up your confession. Keep you from saying consistently what you need to say. He wants to turn your light off. The enemy wants to shut off the power of God in your life by getting you to say the wrong things. Stand up with me. I hope I made my point. You see, the reason a lot of people don't have what they desire is they've never expressed it out of their mouth on a consistent basis. And so I hear this, the Spirit of God, as we got ready for this tonight. It's time to declare some things in your life.
Amen.
But you have to do it. I said you have to do it.
Right.
Make some declarations
right.
That are in line with the Word of God. You say, well, Brother Yoda, what would I do? Well, if you don't know, that means you go back to the Word, and your job is to find out what the promises of God say, and you decide, whatever the promises say, that's what I say.
Amen.
And then somebody comes along and wants to say something else. You're just nice to them. You walk in love, but you don't spend a lot of time with them because you don't want to end up saying what they're saying. And listen to me. That means you might have to turn the music to another station because you've decided that you're not going to sing those songs anymore. You're tired of losing your dog and your wife leaving and your truck breaking down and you know, and not getting there when you need to get there and your house is repossessed. And you understand what I mean? You ought to start singing about what you want to get. Amen. Singing about the blessings of God.
Amen.
I can tell I've made so many friends tonight, Brother Bill. Can you escort me out? No, you all have a great crowd tonight. Let me tell you something. Let's lift our hands up and thank God. How many of you are glad for the truth of God's word? Amen. Amen. Thank God for the truth. Amen. Thank God for the truth of God, of the word of God that sets us free. Hallelujah. I really feel this strong in my spirit. Some of you need to change what you're saying, because therein lies the reason why you hadn't got what you've been wanting, but you hadn't seen it yet. Start calling it in. Don't say anything else about it. Call it like you want it to be, like God wants it to be, instead of the way it is. Amen. I'm talking about learning simple truths of faith. But listen to me. It sounds real simple in church, but tomorrow morning, it's going to be all up to you to do it. You have to open your mouth. And if you have to get a screwdriver and pry your mouth open and get it moving in the morning and start saying, you will say what God's word says. You know, you got to do what you got to do. Isn't that right? Got to say it. I said, you got to say it. You got to say it. If you want the power, you got to say it. You want the light on, you got to keep the switch on. You want to keep God moving in your life, you got to speak it. You got to keep saying it. 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 Say, Brother Yoder, how long do I have to say it? Till you see it. Till you see it. Keep saying it. Look at your neighbor. Tell him, keep saying it. Tell somebody else, keep saying it. Keep saying it. Amen. See, you say, do you have to be so loud? Yes. You know why? Sometimes you got to speak loud enough to drown out the doubting thoughts that the enemy would send in your mind. You got to speak so loud that you don't pay any attention anymore to the thoughts in your mind. You're just saying what God's word says. You're just saying what God's word says. You're just saying what God's word says. Greater is he that's in me. Greater is he that's in me. Greater is he that's in me. Isn't that right? Now, if you're going to get up in the morning, and if you just say, no, the Lord, the preacher said, so here I am. Greater is he. I know you're greater, Lord. I know you're greater, Lord. But, you see right there, that's not what we're talking about. That's not how you keep the power on. That's one of those dimmer switches that's got the dimmer clear down. There ain't much light coming through. You might be saying it, but there's no believing behind it, because you can tell by the way you say it. Amen? Let's thank God for his word. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you, Father, that you bless these people. Father, I've asked you how to minister to these people tonight, and you told me to teach the word. And Lord, I've attempted to teach what you showed me. And Father, I asked you if we would lay hands on people, if you wanted me to lay hands on people. And you didn't say so. You said it's time to declare some things. And so, Father, tonight I pray for these people as we get ready to close here. I pray for these people to have boldness to speak. Boldness to speak your word. Boldness. Give them an unction to speak. Help them to see your promises in your word. And look at it so often that it becomes something that's building up on the inside and comes out of their mouth. Help them to speak the words that would allow you to move in their life. Help them to say what you say about their problems and about the people and about the situation, so that you and the people are in agreement and you can move freely in people's lives. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. For we know that you always perform your word in a place in the earth where you find a voice, where someone would dare to lift their voice and speak it. There you do a mighty work. Thank you, Father, for doing a mighty work in these people as they go speaking your word in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Krosotu isanda. Semtika shihata shepristi ketoda lamasto imenini. Setidie bakastende esmotele ni bankoton singa ebredinis prehetes colotona en fratinis esida evenentona evericisti ato istmet katastas mototo. For I will share the secrets of my kingdom with you, says the Lord, if you will but take time to look into my word, and I will show you how to flow with my spirit, and you shall be able to move in that direction that you have been desiring. For I will show you the secrets and the keys of the kingdom so that you may be able to move with me and be able to move from where you are to where I have designed for you to be. So speak my word and move in that direction with me. For you see, I'm listening. I'm moving in accordance with your life. Even as you lift up my name and as you speak my word, so shall I have freedom to move in you and in what you have. Hallelujah. Now let's lift our hands up and thank him for it. Thank him for it. I opened my mouth to invite the prayer team down, and that came out. Hallelujah. But we know the Holy Spirit, he loves, listen to me, the Holy Spirit loves people speaking the word. And there's something about that that makes him show up right where you are when you speak the word. 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 Amen. So we have prayer teams down here and people down here. And so we have men over here and ladies over here. And the reason for that is so the ladies can come over to the ladies and the men can come over to the men. Everything decent and in order. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so they'll be able to help you and point you to the Word of God and pray with you and be a blessing to you if you have a need. Please come down and see them. If you're here for the very first time, those of you that are here, listen to me. If Connection Team, find those people and just help them to get that gift over in the West Lobby. And that. Thank you again, those of you that came for the very first time. And come Wednesday night, Pastor Hagin will be here, and he'll be speaking the Word of God. You know, he's doing a series on being successful. And success is not an accident. And so, you know, some things you can do to be successful in life. And so I've been enjoying that immensely. And so, I would prefer that over being a failure, wouldn't you? Isn't that right? And so that's the thought behind that. So anyway, you come be blessed. And so 7:00 Wednesday night, Pastor Hagin, be blessed. Sunday morning, 10 a.m., of course, 9:00 for School of the Bible. And we appreciate all of you. God bless you. And we'll believe with you. We're believing with you for your lives to be changed, to you to have everything that God has for you. But it'll depend upon what you say tomorrow, the next day, the next day, and the next day. You know, it's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Isn't that right? Boy, I better start practicing that a little more. Anyway, it's what you say on those days. It's not just what you say on Sunday. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, shake hands with somebody, bless them, and let them know that you appreciate them.